Well, with Thanksgiving occurring on this coming Thursday, it would be appropriate to stop and just think about this national holiday that we celebrate each year as we reflect upon God's providence and His blessings on the pilgrims by way of introducing to us our responsibility to give thanks to God today. As you remember, the pilgrims arrived in around the waters of New England in November of the year 1620. And after about 6 weeks or so of exploring the New England countryside and fighting with the Indians and trying to find a suitable place to settle, they eventually began to build their first buildings or shelters on Christmas Day of the year 1620. And on December the 25th, they started constructing in Plymouth, the area where they were settling, their first building to house their supplies that they brought with them. So they started in the winter time. As you know, there was about 100 pilgrims that were left by the Mayflower. Here on the shores of New England in the area of Plymouth. And it was an incredibly harsh winter, very cold, very, very difficult. And out of that 100 pilgrims, about half of them died because of various diseases or want of sufficient food and sufficient shelter. They were really not able to build very insulated homes at all. And the sickness ravaged them, and by January and February of the year 1621, roughly half of them were dead by that time. Well, the ones that survived the first winter were in a very, very difficult situation. Their supplies were meager. They really had no food to last them for very long. And God, in His good providence and in His blessing, sent him the Indian Squanto, who showed them how to grow Indian corn, who showed them where and how to fish for in the waters off of Plymouth. And by God's grace and God's blessing, they survived. That 50 pretty much survived with no more deaths until through the summer, spring, summer, and into the fall. By the time the fall came, there was a meager but a very blessed harvest that they enjoyed of their Indian corn. They were also enabled to bring some of the food from the land itself. And so by the fall time, they enjoyed enough to have a harvest festival in the year 1621. This is what we celebrate as Thanksgiving. Although it was not an official Thanksgiving holiday back then, that was a long time later, but it was a traditional harvest festival where they gave thanks to God for the bounty of what God had provided for them. In the words of the third governor of Plymouth Colony, Edward Winslow, this is what he wrote about that harvest festival that they enjoyed in the fall of the year 1621. He wrote, quote, "And God be praised, we had a good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men who killed enough fowl to feed the people for a week. These included ducks, geese, turkeys, swans." I didn't know if they ate swans, I guess, but you'd eat anything back then if you could find it, I guess. They also enjoyed fish, cod, sea bass, etc., and Indian corn. They could also have had a variety of native nuts and fruits, as well as herbs, spices, and some garden vegetables, along with some eggs and goat's milk. So that was their harvest celebration. That's what we remember in terms of Thanksgiving. When the autumn crops came in, and there was it was a celebration time. As you recall, there was about 90 Indians that came for 3 days and celebrated this feast with them. The Indians brought 5 deer to the feast. Altogether, there were about 140 of them, the 90 Indians and the 50 or so pilgrims who at that time made up only 16 men, 4 adult women, 23 children, and 9 hired servants. And those were the ones that celebrated this first fall festival that we refer to as Thanksgiving. They gave thanks to God for preserving their lives through that first harsh winter, for the bounty of food and blessings that they then enjoyed. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday as we look back to God's providence and blessing, and we see how these reformed believers who were very committed to Calvinism even celebrated the grace of God and the providence of God and set a good example for us even today. Thanksgiving time reminds us that we also have much to give thanks to God for. And so this morning what I'd like for us to do is to look at Thanksgiving from several perspectives in a kaleidoscope, if you will. We want to look and see how Thanksgiving today is an important part of our worship. And then we turn the lens a little bit and we see Thanksgiving in its all-encompassing scope. And then finally, we'll turn our kaleidoscope and see that Thanksgiving is really a remedy given by God to help heal us from many spiritual diseases and ills that we may suffer in our Christian life. So let's begin by looking at Thanksgiving as a part of our worship for today. Several points here. First, Thanksgiving is one of the highest forms of worship that we can render unto God. I love the words of Thomas Watson, the Puritan, who said, "In petition, that is, as we ask things from God, we act like men. But when we give thanks to God, then we act like angels." He said, "In our petitions, we express our neediness, but in thanksgivings, we declare His excellence. And by thanksgiving, we exalt God and give Him glory." So it's one of the highest forms of worship that we can render unto God. The second aspect of thanksgiving as worship is that thanksgiving is forever. You know, not all forms of worship and not all forms of prayer will last forever. For example, in heaven there will be no longer any need for supplication because in heaven we will have no needs. We will have no distresses, no tribulations, no sorrows, no pains that cause us to cry out to God for help. For in heaven we will be glorified, and in heaven we will have no needs. And so supplication will not be in heaven. Also, we could add to that that in heaven there will be no confession of sin because there will be no sin then in heaven. But thanksgiving and praise to God are heavenly acts of worship that begin here on earth and will continue throughout all eternity. And in heaven, there will always be praise and thanksgivings made to God for His saving grace. So thanksgiving is forever, which makes it one of the best parts of our worship of God. Number three, thanksgiving in our worship is very important because only the saints can truly give thanks to God on earth. Psalm 140, verse 13 says, "Surely the righteous will give thanks to thy name." Unbelievers cannot give thanks in faith. They may mouth the words, but they cannot render gratitude and thanksgiving to God by faith. The devil certainly will not do that. Creation does do it by virtue of their existence, by the creative hand of God, but they don't do it with conscious praise. Only the saints of God can give thanks to God in a way that pleases Him. And if we do not give God praise and thanksgiving, then there will be none done on this earth. Again, it's something that devils cannot do. Though they can do many religious things, they cannot give thanks to God. We can read and quote Scripture, and the devils can read and quote Scripture. Remember, the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus during His temptation. We can look and act religious, and so can the devil, for he can transform himself into an angel of light. We can believe, and so can the demons. They have what the Bible calls a faith of assent. They believe and tremble, though it is a superficial and defective faith and will not save. Nevertheless, they believe and tremble in James 2:19. So the devil and demons can do many religious things, but they cannot give thanks to God. Only a true Christian can genuinely give thanks to God. None of the devils can do this. So that this form of worship belongs uniquely to you and to me. This is a part of our worship which only we can render unto God, is to give thanks to Him. No one else can. And the fourth part of thanksgiving as our worship is that it is an essential part of worship, for it is uniquely suited to give glory to God when we give thanks to God. This for a couple of reasons. First, thanksgiving certainly acknowledges where our blessings come from. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James writes that every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You see, thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude where we acknowledge that our blessings come from God. So that thanksgiving is uniquely suited to giving glory to God, because when we give God thanks, we acknowledge that our blessings come from Him. And that glorifies God. So when we thank God for our blessings of health and prosperity and for our job and for our family and for our friends, then we are acknowledging that those good gifts come from God. They're not from our own hand. They're from the hand of God. And we honor and glorify Him for it. But also that when we... Secondly, when we give thanks for God's gifts, we give thanks to God understanding that all true biblical thanksgiving is rooted in the excellency of God's character. Not just the gifts themselves, but the excellency of the God who gave us those gifts. You see, if we're only thankful for the gifts that God gives, then our thanksgiving can easily turn into a self-centered idolatry. If I give thanks to God, but I'm mainly just totally focused on the gift rather than the excellency of the God who gave it, then basically my heart is focused on the gift. My heart is wrapped around that because of the blessing it brings to me, and it becomes an exercise of self-centered idolatry, because I'm really just happy for myself. I'm really just rejoicing in the blessing for me. And whenever my thanksgiving is more focused on the gift rather than the excellency of the giver, then my thanksgiving falls short from what it really should be. Our thanksgiving, according to John Piper, is that this is a form of faulty thanksgiving that can even take the form of thanking God for sending Christ to save me, because it shows how much God must value me, that He sent Jesus to die for me. Even that form of thanksgiving is very self-centered. Oh Lord, thank You for sending Your Son to die for me, because wow, that must mean I am really special and I am really valuable to You, that You would send Your Son to die for me. And that, even that sentiment can easily be infected with this self-centered notion and being caught up with my importance and my value to God, rather than realizing the truth of Scripture, that God sent His Son to die for us when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were enemies of God, when we were hostile toward God, then he sent his son to die for us in that condition. And so it highlights the grace of God that he sent his son to die for us. The point is that true thanksgiving for God's gift should be rooted in thanksgiving for the excellency of the God who gave those gifts. Thank God for the gifts, absolutely, that's biblical. But beyond that, thank God because of his kindness and his tender mercy and his grace and his love and all of the goodness by which he gave us those gifts. Don't fail to worship God and give God glory for the things that we thank him for, the temporal benefits. Be sure and acknowledge and love him and adore him and praise him for the excellency of his character that gave us those fleeting temporal blessings from his good hand. So true thanksgiving is a form of worship which is God-centered more than it is thing-centered. And that's what makes thanksgiving such an essential part of worship. Well, not only is thanksgiving a part of our worship of God, thanksgiving is really all-encompassing. And it seems like every year I kind of by default go back and review these two points, that we are to give thanks for what? For everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you remember what the Apostle Paul told us in that wonderful passage when he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That is, we give thanks for what? For everything. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, "What do you have that you did not receive?" So give thanks to God for everything. And this involves both good times and bad times. We're to give thanks to God both in adversity as well as in prosperity. William Bridge, another one of the Puritans, said, quote, "Give thanks when you are full and when you are empty, when you're strong and when you're weak, when delivered from the hands of your enemy and when you're delivered into the hands of your enemy." Remember, Job was plundered and robbed and made empty, and he was afflicted with great bodily disease, and yet he said in faith, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So we're to give thanks to God for everything. Of course, it's not easy to give thanks to God in our losses and in our crosses. It's not easy to give thanks to God when we're going through times of pain unless we see some benefit in those losses and crosses and pains. We must see some gain in the pain if we're going to truly, by faith, be able to give thanks to God. And sometimes seeing that benefit has to be done in faith, because you may not experience the benefit. You may not be experiencing any goodness. You may not be experiencing any blessing from God through that cross or through that difficulty. But by faith, you can believe that God will do that eventually in your life. And you can give thanks to God in faith, even for your struggles, even for your trials. It's easy to thank God for our roses. It's not so easy to thank God for the thorns unless we see some benefit in the thorns. And it wasn't until Paul was taught by God that God gave him his thorn to produce a benefit in his life that he was able to give thanks to God for it. It was not until God revealed to Paul that God had given him his thorn in his side to keep him humble and to keep him from exalting himself because of the grandeur of all the revelations that he had received from the Lord. So that to keep him humble, to bring the benefit of godly humility and to prevent the sin of pride in his life, God gave him the thorn. And as Paul began to see the benefit of the thorn, he began to thank God for it, began to rejoice that God's grace was sufficient, that when he was weak, then he was strong in God's grace, and he was content with what God had ordained for his life. See, this teaches us that God does not give his children thorns to do us harm, but to do us good. It's like what David said in Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So that there is a rainbow of grace in every storm cloud that God sends into your life. You must believe that. That's what God says. That he works all things together for good. All things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And if that is true, if we're to give thanks to God in all things, in everything, both the good and the bad, knowing by faith that God will use that trial in my life to bring some spiritual benefit or blessing to me, then by faith I can thank him for it, just like Paul learned to thank God for his thorn. So, therefore, I think we should reflect upon our trials. We should reflect upon our thorns. And I don't know what thorns you may have in your life today. You may have some very painful thorns in your side today by the providence of God. Could be some mental distress. It could be some financial concern that you have. It could be some worry that's dragging you down, some fear of something in the future that may come and be a great loss or a great challenge to your life. But I think we should stop and reflect and ask ourselves these questions. Lord, what good benefit might you bring to me through this thorn that you have ordained in my life? Lord, what test, what opportunity are you presenting to me to grow in grace that I would never have apart from this thorn, this trial? Lord, what blessing are you giving me in this prick and in this pain and in this trial? What sin are you uprooting out of my life because of this trial, this affliction that is in my life? Lord, show me the benefit. Show me the blessing from the thorn that you've brought into my life. And I think it's when we, by faith, begin to look at our troubles and our sorrows and our trials from that light, then we can trust that God eventually, if not now, but will eventually bring a blessing into my life that I would not have otherwise. Paul would have wrestled with arrogance and pride for his revelations, but God stopped the sin by jamming in that thorn into his side. And that thorn was a blessing to him. And your thorns will be a blessing to you as well. Terry Couts and I and Alan Leffler have been ministering to a man who contacted our church about a month ago. He hasn't been in church for 30 years. He's a diabetic. He had a very terrible sore on his leg, and they were going to amputate his leg because it was going to go gangrene, and that could threaten his life, and he could die from it if they didn't amputate his leg. And out of fear, he, in the providence of God, he emailed our church, and we responded to him, and Terry and I and Alan Leffler have been visiting with him and sharing the gospel with him. But that issue sent him to the hospital. The surgeon a couple weeks ago cut off his leg about right there, and that saved his life. We hope. It looks like it will. He's still struggling with it. But that severe treatment of having to amputate his leg is what hopefully in the providence of God, God will use to spare his life and hopefully bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if he's not there already. And sometimes God sends those kinds of issues in our life, those kinds of burdens, those kinds of sawing, cutting trials that seem to tear away and lop off great chunks of our life. And we may think, woe is me, life is horrible, life is bad. You got to understand that sometimes God sends the surgeon to cut away things from our life to save our soul and to save our life and to be a blessing to us, just as it was with Mike. And sometimes even the things that we don't have can be a great blessing to us. When God takes away things, sometimes removing that is a thing that ends up being a blessing to our soul. And we must believe in the goodness of God and that God requires us to give thanks in all things because He is in control and sovereign, and He will use all things ultimately to bless His children. And of course, the greatest thing we should give thanks to God for is for Jesus Christ who saved us from our sins. This is something we can always praise God for, that Jesus came and bore the wormwood of our sin, that He bore the bitter gall of our wickedness, that He drank the full cup of God's righteous wrath, that we who repent and believe in Christ might be forever forgiven and saved. And that's a joy we can carry in our hearts throughout all eternity. Give thanks for what? Give thanks to God for everything in your life. And then secondly, when do we give thanks? Well, Ephesians 5:20 reminds us that we always are to give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So that there is never a time when it's appropriate not to give thanks. All times are appropriate to give thanks to God. At the time of the birth of a child and at the death of a loved one. When your ship has come in, as they say, or when your ship is going out. When you rise up in the morning and when you retire at night. When you're young, when you're old. When providence smiles upon you and when providence frowns, it's always good to give thanks to the Lord. When you're working or when you're walking or when you're shopping, when you're doing your chores or mopping the floors, when you're driving your car or when you've chipped in for a par, if you're a golfer, it's always the right time to give thanks to God. Always. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God wants us to be a thankful people. He wants us to be overflowing with thanksgiving to God at all times, in all circumstances, have a thankful heart. Well, the last section I want to look at this morning is just the incredible blessing of thanksgiving. How God has designed a thankful heart to be a remedy for so many spiritual diseases and troubles that we have in life. Thanksgiving is a means of bringing many blessings to our life, and when we are not a thankful people, we lose those blessings. In fact, ingratitude is one of the great sins listed in the Bible. Paul in 2 Timothy 3 lists ungrateful in that list of great sins that includes those who are lovers of self and revilers and malicious gossips and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, ungrateful people are listed in that list of great sins in 2 Timothy 3. And also, of course, in Romans chapter 1, that's the way the idolatrous pagans respond to God. It says they did not give thanks to God. So that ingratitude is one of the greatest sins ever. Because here God has lavished His blessings upon us and we fail to return back to God the thanksgiving that He deserves. Well, when we do give thanks to God, it is a great blessing. And it will help you overcome at least four sins in your life. The first one is fruitless worship. Because oftentimes, you know, we can come to church and we enter into church, but we never consciously enter into God's presence. Our faith can be dormant in church. We can come in somewhat sleepy-headed because we stay up too late the night before. And we come in and we really are in a fog and we're in a daze and we're kind of zoned out and we're distracted by all these other thoughts and concerns and worries of life. And so we go through the service and we can't remember a thing that we sang. We can't remember the scripture. We can't remember what anybody prayed or anything about the sermon. We're just totally zoned out. And our worship becomes fruitless because we're here, but we're not here. And one of the great remedies for fruitless worship is to come to church with an attitude of thankfulness in your heart. Even in your car as you're driving here, give thanks to God, and that will activate your soul with an awareness of God's goodness. And as you come in, you will be more tuned in to God's presence and into praise and worship and learning from the Word of God. That's what Psalm 95 that we read earlier said for us to do. It says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. In other words, when you come before God's presence, do it with thanksgiving. Let your heart come through those front doors rejoicing and giving thanks to God, and then you'll be ready to worship the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So come through the doors with thanksgiving. That's how you worship God. That's how your worship becomes fruitful rather than fruitless. And if we begin giving thanks in the morning, on Sunday morning, it helps to direct our hearts and minds to God, and it prepares us for public worship. It warms up the soul. It's kind of like doing warm-up exercises before you engage in strenuous activity. Thanksgiving warms up the soul so we can come and exercise our hearts and our minds to worship and adore God. It prepares us. It warms us for that glorious exercise of worship. It wakes up our consciousness to God's presence and blessings and activates spiritual senses to His grace. And it just makes our worship fruitful. So fruitless worship can be overcome with a thankful heart. Secondly, fearful worry. Another passage that we read earlier. Listen again to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 that we've read. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To me, the focal point in that exhortation to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The focal point is a with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Because, see, you can make a request known to God and be overwhelmed with worry and anxiety. Oh, God, you know, please, I'm sinking, you know, and we can be stressed out if we just bring our requests and our petitions before God. But when you bring them before God with thanksgiving, you're acknowledging the sovereignty of God. You're acknowledging that God's in control. You're acknowledging that He has every right to order and direct your life. And when you bring your request before God with thanksgiving, you're acknowledging that He is present with you, that He is using all of those concerns of worry that worry your soul, and He's using those to produce good in your life, and suddenly your anxiety will fade, and God's peace will overflow in your soul when you give thanks to God and bring those requests to Him. It's the thanksgiving that brings a sense of peace into your heart as you acknowledge God's sovereignty and His control in those circumstances that may be stressing you out. To know that God's will towards you is good and that He will work it for good. See, worry and anxiety makes us nearsighted because all we see with clarity is the problem and the distressful circumstances. And to see God's promises and God's glory is fuzzy. It's way off in the distance and we can't see it. We're nearsighted. We're focused on all my troubles and my problems and woe is me. But what thanksgiving does, and acknowledging God's sovereignty, is that it brings His power and His grace and goodness into clear focus and brings that as if it was very near to our heart, like looking at it with a telescope. And it brings that character of God very close to my heart, and suddenly I am comforted, and suddenly God's peace fills my heart as I give thanks to Him and look and gaze upon His goodness. And when we do that, then anxiety flees and faith and peace fills the soul when we pray with thanksgiving, because it makes us realize that my God, who loves me, will never leave me. He's with me. He's in control of all these trials, and I will trust Him. He will work it for good. And nothing fills the heart with peace more than reflecting upon the sovereignty of Almighty God. So fearful worry can be healed and cured by the remedy of thanksgiving. Well, thirdly, interestingly enough, even foul words. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Look at what the Apostle Paul says here. He says in verse 4 that there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So giving thanks is the remedy for a complaining, griping, moaning, filthy talk, a kind of speech, coarse jesting that tears other people down, that ridicules them. The remedy for that kind of foul speech is giving thanks instead. Giving thanks is the antidote to the poisonous speech that oftentimes we fling out, that mean-spiritedness that sometimes comes into our hearts. And why is thanksgiving the remedy? Well, because if you begin to give thanks, that does something to you. Because when you give thanks to God, or even when you give thanks and show appreciation to others for what they do for you, it brings a measure of humility into your soul. You can't be a proud person and give thanks in any genuine sort of a way. And gratitude focuses on others. It exalts others for their gift or for their kindness, whether to God or even to other people. It does not exalt self. It's self-abasing, not self-exalting when we give thanks. When we give thanks, it calls attention to our needs and God's gracious provision, maybe through others. So it cannot speak in an ugly or angry or bitter or put down kind of a way if your heart is really full of thanksgiving. A thankful person does not exalt himself over others or thinks more highly of themselves, but they have a humble heart and they're aware of their dependence upon God for everything. A thankful heart is a heart that's filled with God's goodness. And if the heart is filled with God's goodness, then the mouth will be filled with God's goodness, because the mouth is full of that which comes out of the heart. And so thanksgiving is a cure for the kind of speech that cuts people down, or that is mean-spirited, or it's foul-mouthed, or uses humor to ridicule other people that tears them down. A thankful heart will bring humility, it'll bring appreciation for others, and it will transform our mouth as it transforms our hearts. So foul words are cured by the remedy of thanksgiving. And finally, a frustrating weariness, which we all experience sometimes in the Christian life, can be healed by the grace of thanksgiving. You know, spiritually, we all sometimes get tired and worn out and stressed out and burned out. We can get depressed and discouraged. We can feel like that we're in the bottom of a hole. Things just aren't changing. Nothing's getting better. And we often just lack power in our Christian lives to rejoice in the Lord. And it seems like our flesh and our sins are just so unrelenting that we just can't overcome them at times. And we get discouraged, and sometimes we just feel like that we're just of no use to God and no use to other people. Life is just too miserable even to continue on. And spiritually, we can become frustrated in our weakness, and we can just go adrift, spiritually speaking. Well, thanksgiving can be a great remedy for that, because a thankful heart will renew spiritual vitality in the soul. Because a thankful heart helps you to take your eyes off your failure, off your pitiful conditions, and on to God, who has all power and grace to intervene and to help you. He created the heavens and the earth. He can sustain you. He can heal you. He can keep you safe until you arrive in heaven. So that thanksgiving replaces weakness and a weeping soul with joy and singing of heart. I love Psalm 30, one of my favorite psalms, and particularly verse 4 and 5, which says, and this is a time when David was really beaten up. He was fearful of his enemies. His life was on the very edge. And yet he came to the point to where he could sing out, Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And I love that, because a lot of times we sense that God's displeasure or anger is upon us, but David says, you know, fear not, it'll only last for a moment. His favor towards you is for a lifetime. And though you may weep because of the burdens that you carry, weeping will last only for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And as we begin to reflect upon God's favor and give Him thanks for His goodness and His love and His protection, then our weeping will be exchanged for a shout of joy. Our weakness will be supplemented with His strength, so that even though we are worn out by our enemies, we can rejoice and be revitalized as we give thanks to God for His blessings upon our soul. Well, in conclusion, I think we should learn to always give thanks to God in all things. And don't wait until a trial comes into your life to teach you that it is possible to give thanks to God in all things. Learn to give thanks to God today. Thank Him now. Don't be like a Jonah who has to end up inside of a great storm and then inside of a great fish, before he finally was brought to the point of giving thanks to God. Learn to thank God in all things, at all times, because it'll be a source of great joy in your Christian life. And it will help you overcome many spiritual sins and diseases that we all carry with us. Years ago, I used to, once a month, drive down to Norman and minister at a retirement center at Rivermont. And it was a bunch of old folks. I love those people. They were all in their upper 70s or 80s, and there were some little old men and some little old women, and they would always kind of hobble in the room, and one of them would play the piano by ear, and we'd sing some old gospel hymns, and then I'd preached to them, and it was always a wonderful experience. And one Sunday when I was there, they were having a little birthday celebration for one of the little old ladies, and her name was Peg Chastain. And I don't know how old Peg was. She had to be in her 80s, approaching 90 probably. But she was afflicted with many physical pains, and she was all bent over like this. And when she looked at you, she had to turn her head up sideways, and she walked with a cane, and she would kind of hobble along like this. And it was her, I think it was her 90th birthday. Well, they called her up front and were going to just, you know, kind of appreciate her a little bit. And they asked her if there was anything she wanted to say. And she grabbed that old microphone. She's all bent over like this. And no doubt she's having pain. But she just starts giving thanks to God. I mean, she thanked God for the people that washed her clothes. She thanked God for the people behind the front desk that checked people in and out. She thanked God for the cooks that made them such wonderful meals. She thanked God for being alive. She thanked God, and she thanked God, and she thanked God. And I felt about that tall because in my ungrateful heart, I was in the presence of a woman of God who had learned to thank God always and for all things. And that's what brings glory to God. And in spite of all of her weaknesses, that woman had a glow of the joy of Christ in her countenance because her heart and her mind were not attached to her pains and her struggles, but upon the excellency of God who had blessed her in so many ways. God wants us to be a thankful people. He wants us to give thanks to God, to count our blessings, and to rejoice in all that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do for us. A thankful heart is a source of joy because it focuses on God and His goodness in what we have and sometimes and in what we don't have, but we give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a vital part of our worship. It is all-encompassing in its scope, and it's a remedy for many of our besetting sins, and it's the source of great joy in our life. Let us give thanks to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need to begin by just confessing our sin of ingratitude, that, Lord, oftentimes we receive so much from Your good and loving hands, and yet we can become such a grouch at times. We can become complainers, and we can always focus on what we don't have rather than the blessings that we have. And our hearts can become bitter and out of sorts and out of tune with the mercy of God. And then our mouths are full of this kind of arrogant, proud, and angry speech. And Lord, that's not what You want for us. You want us to see Your loving, good hand involved in our lives in every way. And that we should learn to give You thanks at all times and for all things, seeing Your hand in every crevice, every corner, every closet, in everything in our life, to see the good hand of Almighty God. So, Lord, fill us with a thankful heart. Give us joy in giving You gratitude and praise and thanking You. And, of course, Lord, the greatest gift of all that we have ever received is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Father, we just thank You for His death and resurrection. We thank You that He bore our curse, our shame, our sin, that we might be eternally forgiven and have new life in Christ, all because of what Jesus suffered in our place on Calvary's cross. What a great source of joy and thanksgiving. So, Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving on Thursday, Lord, give us a thankful heart today, tomorrow, then, and for the rest of our lives as we focus upon the excellencies of your character. And, Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.